God, my shield and my soul. I love the Lord because He first loved me. I love the Lord. I love the Lord.
And I know that I should.
never find another in this whole world to take his place. Oh, he's a friend that stick up closer than a brother. The worldly friends may all forsake. Oh, and I know that I shall never find another in this whole world to take his place. Oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The worldly friends may all forsake. Oh, and I know that I shall never find another in this whole world to take his place. Oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The worldly friends may all forsake. Oh, and I know that I shall never find another in this whole world to take his place. Oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The worldly friends may all forsake. Oh, and I know that I shall never find another in this whole world to take his place. Oh, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
To take his place. from the La Quinta over there in Markham to church during the meeting and taking her back home. And Sunday morning, it was our turn to do breakfast, so I had to leave. I said, I'll be there at 10 after 9, and got to get you back so I can finish helping, and then, you know, you can have breakfast. And she said, okay. Well, I left at 9, about 2 minutes till 9, something like that, and I went down Shackelford, and if y'all know, there's 9 or 10. I know for sure 9. It might be 10. And as I turned, I said, Lord, please let those lights be green. Let them all be green all the way across. And I will testify and brag about you that you did it. Would you believe they were all green? All of them. I have never gone through there. And at the times that I picked her up, it was maybe 2 red, 1 green, then another red. I had to stop. And you know, it takes longer. I mean, I got to her at 9:09, according to my clock on my car. And I told her about it. She says, well, praise God. Well, coming back, I didn't have to because I had to go. I can go the freeway, you know, and get off Colonel Glenn. But it's just so awesome because when I go to see Sister Inez, I tell her several things that's happened. I don't know if I've shared it with y'all. No, I haven't. About the air condition. My air condition went out right before the meeting. My car air condition went out. Then my house air condition went out. And I was like, well, okay. Maybe I'll lose weight quicker this way, sweat all this fat off. And so I call Brother Thompson, and of course they said they'll be there, you know, that afternoon. And in the meantime, I get a call to go pick up the grandkids. Yeah. And so I thought, oh God, they're going to burn up, but you know, we'll just open the windows. But when I got in my car, and I asked somebody to pray. And so I got in my car, and I was driving. Next, I think I'm going to try the air again. I tried it, and the air was working. I was like, thank you, Lord. So it was cool all the way to get them and back. And then when I told the kids, I said, guys, it's going to be hot in there. We walked in. It was cold. It was cool. God had turned it on for a while, you know, until Brother Paul got there or Brother Daniel, whoever. I can't remember who came. But anyway, it's like, wow. So I was sharing that with Sister Inez. She said, Sister Linda, every time you come, you tell me something. Keep on telling me stuff. He goes, that helps me. And I said, well, it helps me, you know, because there might be little to people, but they're big to me, because that means God's listening. And, you know, he's doing this for me. And I can't remember if I even said anything about the other stuff, but I'm just so thankful that we have, you know, a God that is there all the time. We're the ones, or I'm not going to say we, I'm sorry, we have learned to say, not we, but I tend to forget sometimes that all I got to do is ask, oh, especially when it comes to my keys or my cell phone, you know, and sometimes I'm like, Stan, would you call my cell phone, but I forget it's turned off. So, you know, that can't work because I can't even hear the vibrate of it. And so, but somehow he tells me to go back to whatever room that I've already checked. And it happens, you know. And then I remember one time when I kind of heard a little voice say, all you got to do is ask, you know. And I did. And so it just so encourages me. And I'm so thankful that, like I said, that we have someone that we can talk to, not just a friend, but he's a friend closer than a brother. And I mean, like the song says, you know, and wow, I'm just so overwhelmed to know that. And I appreciate everybody helping me with Sister Inez's meals. And, you know, I was telling Sister Gladys on a text, I said, I didn't want to bother anybody this week because I knew everybody was tired, you know, and all that. And so I thought, I'll just go ahead and do it myself, you know, a week. I'll go ahead and do Monday and the rest of the week. Well, Sister Debbie calls me, and she goes, can I take some, do you have already somebody for Tuesday? I go, no. She goes, can I do it? I go, yes, you can do it. And then I remember that Sister Holly said she's, you know, Wednesday's the only time that she could do it, or it's better for her to do it on Wednesday. And so I just text her real quick, Holly, can you do Sister Inez Wednesday? And she goes, yes, real big. I go, okay, thank you, Lord. And so I thought, okay, I got all that. And then I text Sister Gladys, because she's always said that if I ever need, since she can't come all the way down here, she can give me money so I can pick it up. And I asked her, and right away, I mean, it's just so good to hear people. They're not like, well, I don't know this and that. No, they're ready to help. And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate each one of y'all that has stood up and done that for Sister Inez, and she appreciates it very, very much. And she's not picky. Oh, and I would like to ask somebody, anybody, because Sister Debbie went through like 4 different stores. She wants, oh my goodness, I done forgot, some kind of orange congeal. Did she tell you about it tonight, Holly? Some kind of salad, jello salad. But if somebody's a good cook that can make it, you know, for her, and could bring it Sunday, and I will take it to her Monday. Okay, well, no, she wants this congeal salad, jello type salad. I'll find out the details, and if anybody can fix something like that, I would appreciate it. So anyway, back to bragging about God. He's an awesome God, and he's helped me with, oh, I know, that's what it was, when I kept the three Spanish little boys, and were young men, and a young 13-year-old black boy. We were talking, and I was saying, well, Ethan, do you have the Holy Ghost? And he said, no, ma'am, but you know what, Sister Fisher, I don't think this is my time to get it. I said, Ethan, I said, any time that door is open in any church is the time to get it if you want it. I said, God will give it to you. Well, I said, well, we got one more service, okay? Okay. I found out later he got it. He got the Holy Ghost. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I was talking to Chelsea about it, and she said, oh, his mom stayed with us. You know, and she was talking about him really tearing for it and all that. And so I was thankful for that. And I'm just so thankful for everything, and I appreciate each one.
The Lord. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm happy to hear those good reports, Sister Fisher. There's no telling how many lives. My wife was telling me she was talking to somebody recently about our meeting, and you know, people they compare. It's human nature to compare things. And so sometimes our meeting gets compared to other people's meetings. And she was talking to somebody, and they were headed down that path. And she said, you know, Little Rock meeting's probably a little different than other places. But you should know that people's lives are forever changed. And I thought it was no more true, no more of a witness to us than when the Houston youth began to testify to us about all the things that had happened to them, and then different ones here, you know, and I think there's a few references here of, you know, experiences that they've had. And, of course, I've had people tell me personally. In fact, I might have mentioned this before, even had somebody remind me of a message that I had preached as a teenage boy here, when I was living in Springdale, that had an impact, you know, had an effect on their life, and they still remembered that. And of course, I, you know, there's things that I still remember, good things, really good memories that I have. And Brother Leniger had, he put me in charge of one of the services here in a youth meeting, and so I was sitting there and in his chair, and the band struck up. And if you, I should remember the song, but it's failing me right now. But anyway, I was sitting there, and the Spirit of the Lord just moved in, and I just felt like my spirit just left my body. I just felt like God just blessed me. I leaned back in a chair and was drunk in the Spirit for I don't know how long. And it was a wonderful time. And, you know, I've told you before, different ones. Saw Brother Smith go bounding off this platform in our meeting during that band song, Dance a Jig. You know, there's wonderful things that we have, wonderful treasures, memories that we make. And, of course, you get to, now we get to see the pictures. And appreciate Sister Fisher. She took a lot of good pictures and shared them with us, and the different ones. And, you know, I'm seeing people's comments about songs that were sung and different experiences that they've shared from the meeting. And of course, we put together audio for the meeting and video, but the audio goes out faster. And I thought the band songs were phenomenal, Brother Michael. I was just so impressed with the quality of musicians that you were working with. And then your arrangements were just fantastic. And I've gone back and listened to them. I don't know if y'all have had an opportunity to do that, but the songs, all the audio is on SoundCloud, and I pulled out. There's so much sound, there's so much good sound. I couldn't, you know, you can't just publish a 40-minute song, but I did go out and, grab bits and pieces of it and shared it. I've shared it with some of my buddies, you know, that don't even go to church. You know, some of them are pretty ungodly even, but it's just, I want them to hear this sound, this sound. And for me, it's a sound that I fell in love with when I met the body. You know, to me, music talks to me, and I've told this before, but I got a hold of a tape from Oklahoma City, and it just had an effect on my life that was wonderful. And even I sat at work Monday morning, just kind of give you guys a little bit of what goes on in my mind. And I don't know how this is going to sound when it starts coming out, but because I haven't really talked about this with anybody, but I was listening years ago. I was listening to a VHS of Vallejo, and Brother Hawkins Assembly. Of course, he's no longer with us, but they had a sound. It was just, their music was just, oh, it just struck a chord with me. I just loved it, loved listening to it. And I wore it out, just kept playing it and playing it and playing it. And I've tried to match that sound. I have. In this church, I've tried to, when I came to this church, I had dealt with the sound system before, but I don't fancy myself as being an audio engineer. I don't fancy myself even as being a skilled musician. I appreciate the times that I got to sit beside Brother Phil Thompson here in this church. I knew how to read some sheet music, but it had been a while since I'd been away from it or trying to get back to it, and he was real patient with me on the trombone and helped me, you know, pick some things back up. And so anyway, when I took over the sound in this church, one thing that I've always tried to accomplish is a blend of sound. And in my estimation, if you can hear a flute, you know, at the same level as you're hearing a trombone or a saxophone or a bass guitar or a drum, then you've accomplished something. Because flutes, you know, or clarinets, even saxophones at times, they get walked over. They're You know, unless you're really blowing that instrument with authority, you're gonna you'll just fade into the background. And but in this meeting, in some of the audio that I went back and listened to, I could hear just this wonderful blend of just so many instruments, and it just, I got so excited. I was on my job at work and listening to it. Of course, I had earphones on, and no one else was, you know, could hear what I was listening to. And I share a cubicle. There's a story to that even, but I used to have an office. I used to have an office all to myself, and but we needed space. And you know, that's the thing about God's people, is you learn how to make room. Do you know that? You hold on to something too tightly, and before long, you'll squeeze it right out of your hand. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Freely have you received, freely give." And so anyway, I was sitting there, I had headphones in, I was doing, trying to get caught up from, you know, missing a day and a half of work is like missing a week of work for me. It's just brutal. And so anyway, I was getting caught up, and all of a sudden I hear this sound. I hear this flute come across this, right across the top of all these instruments. I said, "Oh, yes!" And one of my buddies working with me, he's like, "Are you okay?" I said, "Let me tell you, I have been trying to capture that sound. I've been trying to put that sound on recording for years and years, and we've had moments here and wonderful musicians to work with. We got it. I felt like that, you know, I was able to bottle that a little bit and share it. And of course, you know, just, I didn't check the stats today, but yesterday I did check the stats. And from Wednesday night of last week until last night, we had over 3,000 plays on our SoundCloud account. And so we're setting it, our SoundCloud account, we launched it in September of 2013, but I was playing with it because I was using another program to support our audio, and I didn't really get comfortable with it until January of 2014, and that's when I started just lightly promoting it. And so since January of 2014, our SoundCloud, September 2013, our SoundCloud account has been listened to over 170,000 times. And I mention that to you because it's easy for us to diminish ourselves here, right here in this little bitty, you know, town of Little Rock, you know, relative to the rest of the world. We're nobody. And even one time somebody was kind of giving me a hard time about spending so much time in that and devoting so much time to that. I said, "Look here, I'm spreading the gospel of Christ." And Brother Durham, our music and our preaching, our services, we don't do video, but our audio goes out to all kinds of countries. We've got a station in Australia that takes our sound, our music, and rebroadcasts it. And so it makes you wonder, you know, there's people in the UK and various countries in Central and South America and Canada and in other parts of Europe that have tapped in at times and listened to what we have to say, even ungodly people. I've had ungodly people contact me about our sound. And of course, we've had those folks from France that work for Falcon Jet. The one thing that they came in and talked about was gospel music. They were looking for something. And so, you know, I guess I say all that to say is that Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Cast your bread upon the water." And that's what we're doing. We're making, Paul said that he was willing to spend and be spent for the gospel. And that's what we're doing. And it becomes a labor of love. Brother that was here Sunday talking about being a slave, a love slave. Paul, he used the term prisoner. He said, "I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord." And Brother Daniels, you've used that oftentimes, that we've been brought. He said he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. You know, we know that people in this world, they're captivated by sin. They're bound in sin. They're bound by the condemnation of sin, and the result will be death, maybe even a life of misery for some people. And so we know that they're captive. We know that they're prisoners to the world. They're prisoners to the carnal mind. But Jesus came and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. My Lord, I sat here in this youth meeting and I watched the gifts work in the church. And I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm talking about the gifts that work together, the willingness, the humility that people had to bring their talents together and make things happen. I patted Brother Mark Boyd on the back and congratulated him. There he is back there. We accomplished a lot in just a short period of time here in his church and getting, you know, natural things done and putting our talents together and taking care of this house, these four walls that God has provided with us with. And that's admirable in my opinion. You know, a lot of people, they can't get things done. They don't know how to work together. They don't know how to have humility to take a step back and say, I recognize that there's more than one way to do this task. And I'm willing, you know, for the sake of my brother, for the consideration of my friend, I'm willing to consider what you have to say. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, consider what I say. And the Lord give the understanding. He made it so that it wasn't so domineering. It wasn't so rigid. It wasn't so, absolute, even though it might have very well been absolute. But at least it gave Timothy an opportunity to consider. And there's something about being convinced. When you're convinced and you know that you know, you're going to have a hard time changing a person that knows that they know. You know, like getting the Holy Ghost. You couldn't tell me. You couldn't come along and tell me there's no evidence of speaking in tongues because I know. I'm not just relying on somebody's testimony. I'm not just relying on somebody telling me, when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues. I know that I know you'll speak in tongues because I did it. And so, anyway, I like it when people say, consider what I say. And like Paul said, consider what I say, that the Lord would give thee understanding. And so we worked together here and had people here in the band working together. If you haven't listened to, if you weren't in here and you haven't had a chance to listen to the music arrangements, Brother Michael Smith did a fantastic job. I mean, it was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that to lift you up, Brother Smith. I want you to know that I appreciate it. I felt God in it. And the effect that it'll have is reaching. It will reach beyond just even what we experienced this last weekend, Brother Daniels. God has deposited something in us as a church. Thank God he's given us gifts and talents. And he's also given us the humility to learn how to work together to where his name is lifted up. You know, that's the ultimate. That's the consummate. That's the pinnacle of everything that we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, even if you'll consider this, even when you say a sinner's prayer, even when you humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, please forgive me of all my sins, and I want to accept you as my personal Savior. What are you doing? You're setting him up on a level that exceeds anything, any man or woman or organization or government or any entity could ever match. You're setting him up on a level that he becomes your Savior. In other words, you're lost. I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost. Peter told the Lord, he said, where would we go? Seeing thou hast the words of eternal life. My God, what a revelation that is. Hallelujah. He told Peter, he said, blessed are your eyes that see. He said, but blessed are they that don't see and believe. That's us. We're believing. We're believing even when we don't see it. Even when we're not walking with Him like they did down the road. We're still accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is our hope. He's our Savior. And of course we know that, you know, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to come together. Hallelujah. With spiritual songs, singing spiritual songs, hymns. We're saved by the word of our testimony, by the foolishness of preaching. Thank God, that's why we have church. Woo! Hallelujah! We come together and we support this facility that we have, so we'll have a place to worship. Hallelujah! The Almighty God, our Savior. Hallelujah! And we come together with songs, with testimonies, with good heartfelt preaching from the Word of God. Praise God! Woo! Hallelujah! I love the Lord today. I love what we have today. Praise God! Praise God! And so, I admired Brother Smith, Michael Smith, working with this band and how he was able to draw out different elements, the clarinets and the flutes and the trombones and the saxophones and different things. I don't know if y'all noticed, did you see Brother Sharber over here working when people were wanting a prayer, when they were wanting prayer? I'll tell you, you're going to work hard to outwork Brother Sharber. He was over here and he was sweating and he was praying and he was sweating and he was praying and he was outworking just about everybody over here, praying for God's people. He wasn't just here to preach. He was here to work. He was here to see others be blessed, just like we were. And so it's a body of Christ, isn't it? It's a collective effort. You know, we get caught, and myself included, we get caught in the pressure of it. What the old saying is, we've talked about this before, you know, if you want to purify the gold, you got to turn up the heat. And so we feel that. You know, I became aware of a few things in my life out of this meeting. Became aware of a few things that trouble me, that, you know, that things I've got to work on. And so, you know, let me say, if I've caused any offense, I hope I can ask you to forgive me. And I want you to know that if I have, and if there's something that needs to be made right, then by the help and grace of God, I'll do that too. Because I don't want anything, you know, I like that song. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. I don't want anything to hinder me. I don't want anything, you know, the Bible says if you have aught against your brother, if you go to the altar. See, that oftentimes we forget that part. We find ourselves in a bit of conviction. We find ourselves in a moment of sorrow. We're feeling bad for something that we might have done or hurt somebody. And so we go to the altar. But you know, if you're not careful, you'll hit a wall right there. And it's and Jesus, he told his disciples, he said, if your brother have aught against you, if you go to the altar and you find that your brother hath aught against you, go to him. Make it right. I like that song. All day long, I've been with Jesus. It has been a wonderful day. I have climbed up one step higher on the blessed King's highway. I have spoken words of kindness. Jesus knows if I've done wrong. And if I have, I must go and make it right. Make it right. Make it right. So I can testify that I've been with Jesus all day long. Hallelujah. Praise God. Make it right. Don't let pride hold you, hinder you from serving God. Don't let pride, don't let pomp and prestige, don't let, yourself be deceived in thinking that you don't have to make it right. Because I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I've got to make it right. I have to make it right. Because God won't accept anything less. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, as you've done it unto these, the least of these, you've done it unto me. He said, he that offendeth one of my little ones, it would be better that a millstone was cast about his neck and that he was thrown into the sea. to die. That's what he could have just said. It would have been better if he had just been like Judas and go commit suicide to offend one of my little ones. It's delicate, isn't it? I read some scriptures recently talking about how we're arrayed as the lily. And, you know, there's somebody mentioned in this meeting how that the very numbers on our head, Brother Green, I think, mentioned that, how the very numbers on our head, God knows everything. There's not anything hidden from him. And, you know, that's a wonderful revelation for me personally. When I recognize that there's nothing that God doesn't know about me. There's not any, he knows my faults, he knows my failures, he knows my weaknesses, he knows my uprisings, he knows my downsetting. There's nothing that he don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. He loved me anyway. Paul wrote about that in Romans 5. He said in Romans 5, in the first verse, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know today, if you will take a minute and have faith that no matter what is in your life, no matter what a circumstance has come upon you, if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you will accept the direction that He has for your life, you can have peace tonight with God. That's what He told him. He said, we have faith. Because of our faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherewith we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Praise God. Praise God. Today we can stand. We're not perfect. Not by any stretch of the imagination. We don't have everything right. We're still struggling on a daily basis to please the Lord, and we know that. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God has given us grace tonight. He's given us grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God that He allows us to stand. I stand here today in the hope of my Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that He loves me and He sticks closer to me than a brother does. Hallelujah. Woo! What a wonderful Savior He is. He said, by my faith I stand in this grace. And I rejoice in the hope. I rejoice tonight in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And not only so, he said, but we glory. Now notice this. The writer here, he's not deceived. He's not painting it like it's some rosy picture. He's getting down to the brass tacks. And he's telling us where we live. He says, look, we're not just glorying in the hope that God is going to redeem us and save us from this untoward generation. But look, right here, we're going to glory in even in the tribulation. He said, we glory in the tribulation knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. That there's an acceptance, that there's a process. You know, I mentioned this before, my girl Lila, she made some sort of frosting and she didn't get it right. And so she told me, she said, Dad, I watched a lot of video the second time because I wanted to get it right. And she did. She got it right the second time. But you know, there was patience in that. Now, I didn't get on to her case because she got it wrong the first time. I was happy that she was trying. You know, sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll discourage somebody from trying by my response if they fail the first time. Well, I knew you'd fail. It's funny, last night, I don't know why I saw. You guys are going to think I'm crazy. But it just so happened last night that I just happened to watch the Carol Burnett show. And, you know, Mama and Eunice, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But some of y'all do. And I know that. And that's exactly why she said, Mama, you always tell me I'm a failure. You know, There's some people that are just set up that way. They, oh, you won't make it. You'll never make it. You can't live perfect. You can't be an overcomer. You might as well just quit trying. There's some people that are automatic. That's you know why they do that? Because they don't want you to make it. You know why they don't want you to make it? Because they don't want to try. They don't want you to raise the standard. They don't want you to say, oh yeah, we can make it. Come on, let's go. Because then they got to make a choice. Now it's up to them to make a choice. Well, if he can make it, that means I probably could make it myself, but am I willing? Some people aren't willing. That's where patience comes into play. That's where patience comes into play. He said, by these tribulations, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to fail. Do you have the patience to work through it? Are you willing to have patience to work through it? Tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. It brings an experience to us. I'm going to tell you, I've mentioned this before. Now, my girl Lila, and I'm not just picking on her, but it's a good illustration. The next time she goes to make that frosting, the second time she made it spot on. It was awesome. And you know what? The next time she goes to do it, she's got that experience. And I won't be able to tell, no, Lila, you can't do that. She'll say, well, just watch me, Dad. You know what I mean? She's got her mind set. She knows how to do it. She knows she can do it. She's got experience. She worked through it. It's the same as us. We can work through these things. And, you know, sometimes our experience, you know, while they say fools rush in where angels fear to tread, sometimes my experience gets me in trouble. I just run, yeah, we can do it. And then I think, how in the world did I get here? what did I get myself into? You ever feel that way, Brother York? I do. I feel like that sometimes. But we work through it. We trust the Lord. You know, if God calls you to do something, you better do it. Just like it was a guy that put out a fleece. Gideon, thank you. Oh, I never can remember his name. But just like Gideon, the Bible says there's a term, and that's going to escape me too when I can't think of it right now. But basically Gideon was just a meek. There's a term how he was referenced there. But he had no intention of conquering an army. He was kind of hiding out, threshing wheat. He was trying to stay out of trouble. He was valiant. That's the word I was looking for. The Bible says that he was a valiant man. He was brave, but he wasn't brave enough to go down there and conquer that army. But I'm going to tell you something. When God calls you to do something, and you know God's called you to do something, if you accept that call, if you'll accept that challenge by the help and grace of God, we'll see this through. There's no telling what God will do for you, do with you, through us as a church. He said, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That's the thing right there. To me, that's one of the greatest keys is I know this, that there's times in my life when I didn't know if I could do it or not. But I had hope that if I trusted the Lord. Now, I know each and every one of you have been in this situation. You were probably in this situation just a few days ago in our meeting when you were under the gun, under the pressure, under the stress, the heavy load, and you think, oh, can I? Oh, I've got to go just one more. I just got to take one more step. But here's the thing. You took that step because you had hope that God would meet you. And if you will, what's that song? You take one step, he'll take two. Praise God. It's easy. It's easy to get our heads down. It's easy to get bogged down in the tribulation. But let me tell you something. Let's not do that. Let's focus on the patience. Let's focus on the experience. Let's focus on the hope. And the Bible says that it's a hope that maketh not ashamed. Right? He said, and the hope, in the next verse, maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, all of this started by an act of faith. You want to love God tonight? You want to love God with your whole heart? You want to love, you want to have the love of God shed abroad, your heart that's undeniable, that's just wholesome and genuine and coming straight from God out of heaven? If you want that tonight, all it takes is that very first step of faith, that very first act. Lord, I believe, and I'm going to keep on believing. Come tribulation, come patience, come experience, come hope. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep exercising my faith. He said that we were given access. You want grace tonight? You feeling weak tonight? You feeling a little empty tonight? You feeling a little like you're missing something tonight? Are you needing grace in your life tonight? Are you needing your faith exercised tonight? Are you needing hope tonight? Are you needing more confidence? Are you needing more experience tonight? My Lord, it just takes that step of faith. It just takes that one step of faith, thank God. And let that seed grow in your life. Enter into His grace tonight. Enter into the experience and the love of God. Let the Holy Ghost come in your life and spread the love of God across your heart. My God, one act of the Holy Ghost will do away with all the sorrow and the sadness that somebody might feel. One act of the Holy Ghost can make enemies, bitter enemies, dearest friends, thank God. One act of the Holy Ghost can make the Word of God alive so that you begin to read and understand the Word of God and becomes real in your life. Just one act of the Holy Ghost that God can heal a broken heart. One act of the Holy Ghost can make somebody who's sick, thank God, whole again. One act of the Holy Ghost can raise a man from the dead. Hallelujah, thank God. Woo! Praise God, we're in a wonderful place tonight. We're in the house of God, hallelujah. We've come together tonight, hallelujah, to testify, to sing, to preach, to lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God. My God, what a joy it is to be in the house of God tonight. What a privilege it is to find ourselves sitting together among God's people tonight. Thank God. And having this Word of God and this Spirit of God alive in our life. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to know that God loves us, thank God, more than anybody else loves us. His love for us, thank God, is beyond our imagination. What a privilege it is to know that the peace that He brings, even in the midst of turmoil, thank God, is like no other. It's a peace beyond understanding. My Lord, hallelujah. Don't you feel good tonight about being a Christian? Don't you feel good tonight about being in the house of God? Don't you feel good about your brothers and your sisters that you're sitting here with tonight? Aren't you thankful for what we just came out of in this meeting and watching men and women work and labor together? Thank God there's people that long to be here. Let's make it attractive to them. Let's make it to where they want to be here. They can't help themselves. They feel compelled to be a part of it. They see this joy. They hear us talking about these good things, all these wonderful testimonies of people getting the Holy Ghost and having their lives changed. We're not like everybody else, and everybody else isn't like us. Paul said to compare yourselves to others is not wise. My Lord, I want to get my mind on the Lord tonight. I want to compare myself to Him. I want to say, Jesus, shape me, mold me, change me. Make me into what You'd have me to be. Lord, I'm Yours. I've told You that before. That's my prayer. Lord, I'm Yours. Use me as You will. Take this gospel that we've been given today and share it. My God, what a joy it is to be a child of the Most High God and to know that no matter what this world goes through, no matter what kind of sorrow or upheaval the children of God experience, that our hope isn't, as Brother Durham said in our meeting before service, that our hope isn't in this world only. Our hope is in the world to come. But you know what, Brother Phil? I'm glad that you and I are in this world together. I'm glad that we're working on this project together. Thank God. It's a joy, Brother Tally, for me. It's my privilege to work with you, brother. I count it as a wonderful privilege. I love the men and women of God. Brother Daniels, I love the experiences that I've had through the years that has drawn me closer and the friends that I've made Thank God. Are some of them still my friends? I don't know, but you know what? I've learned that I can be friendly. Brother Brett Weiniger's taught me that. I can be friendly even sometimes when somebody's not my friend. Or maybe they don't know where I'm coming from. I can still be friendly. I can let down my guard. I can let down my defensive mechanism. I can shed that border that I've put around myself and allow myself to experience a little tribulation. You know why I can do that? Because you follow that tribulation through. Follow it through there in Romans 5, and you'll find at the end is the love of God, and it'll be shed abroad in my heart. Praise God. I'm happy to be here on Wednesday night.
We have a wonderful Savior. He's on His throne. He will never forsake us or leave us alone. He gave a wonderful promise. It shall not fail. And by His Spirit, oh, we shall prevail. We have a wonderful Savior, for He's on His throne. He will never forsake us or leave us alone. He gave a wonderful promise. It will not fail. And by His Spirit, oh, we shall prevail. Oh, we have a wonderful Savior. Oh, yes, He's on His throne. He will never forsake us or leave us alone. He gave a wonderful promise. Oh, it shall not fail. And by His Spirit, oh yes, we shall prevail. We have a wonderful Savior. Oh yes, He's on His throne.
Leave us alone.
He shall prevail. We have a wonderful Savior. He's on His throne. He will never forsake us or leave us alone. We have a wonderful promise. It shall not fail. And the Holy Spirit, we shall
everything Brother Painter gave you tonight, you'll be doing good, I can tell you. A good message, wasn't it? Should have been a message to feed your soul, help you make it another rung on the ladder if you'll use it and put it to work. So I just want to say how much I appreciate and I'm thankful for all your labors in the meeting. You've just done such a marvelous job. You always do, but I still think you need to be told, appreciated. And it was just, I don't know, I guess maybe every meeting feels this way, but I just thought it was maybe one of the best meetings we've ever had for a youth meeting. It was just outstanding, I thought. The songs, the band, like Brother Painter said, and if we'd had another day, we'd have got Sister Bryant to give us some. I love her bringing some of these older songs to us. It brings a flavor in it. And maybe it's because I'm older, you know, Sister Bryant, too, a little bit. But I'm still glad we're keeping them around. There's a spirit in that and a flavor in it that it's... You know, they came, they were inspired in the body, and I think we need to keep them. It's like some of them old hymns from way back, you know. We need those songs, and I appreciate these other sisters, too. They all do such a wonderful job in melding it all together. It's just, but then everyone's labors from, you know, the parking lot and ushering staff and the dining room and kitchen and just everyone that just done such a wonderful job, made me appreciate you more. So job well done, and we got through, and I don't know if we've recuperated yet, but we're working on it, aren't we? I'm glad I came tonight. I'm inspired. Brother Painter, he got me inspired and lifted up. And sure good to see Sister Shay come in tonight. And on a Wednesday night now, she's liable to outdo us all if we're not careful. So anyway, I appreciate her being here. Brother Jimmy Dickens, we've been praying for him. He had open heart surgery today in St. Louis. And the last report we got, he was off the ventilator and doing good and in some pain, but I think that's to be expected, isn't it, Brother York? Can you remember having a little pain when you got through? Seemed like both of them used complaining some, but, you know, when they cut you wide open and break your rib bones, well, you're bound to feel something, you know, when all the numbness wears off. So But anyway, let's keep him in our prayers. Sister Inez, I talked to her today. She's in good spirits. She said, Brother Smith, there's sometimes, she said it this way, minutes that I don't have any pain in my body. And she said, do you know how marvelous that is? Bless her heart. My heart went out to her when she said, the rest, I asked her to tell me how she's doing. That's what she said. She said, the rest of it, I don't want to talk about. So let's keep praying. I told her, I said, we're still holding you up, Sister Inez, and believing God for you. And I know that Sister Inez is willing to yield if God wants to take her in this sickness. But she said, I'm holding out for my miracle, for a healing, complete healing. If the Lord will give it to me, that's what I'm going to continue to have faith for. And so let's keep holding her up in prayer. Sister Donna Henderson went to the doctor today, and they're still, she's having really difficulty healing up from this surgery she had. And so let's keep her in our prayers. What else did someone mention? Yeah, Brother Ron Johnson's wife. They went back for checkup, and they declared she's cancer-free for right now, and so that she don't have to go back for another 3 months for another checkup. So let's rejoice with them in that. Keep praying. Remission. She's still in remission. Maybe. I don't know if I even know how to determine the difference in the two. But anyway, the cancer's not growing if it's still there. Or it's diminishing maybe. So anyway, let's keep praying. Brother and Sister Crow, Brother Weiniger mentioned to keep praying for them. All right. Brother Steve Wallace. Sister Holly, let's pray for Sister Holly. She's going through a trial and tribulation, so let's keep her in our prayers. Brother Ray Weaver, they're wanting to get moved back up here where they can get more faithful in church from the Hot Springs area. So, and he's been really trying lately. You can tell he's been showing up just about every Sunday. By the way, may not be anybody here, but there is a tie clasp, a golden tie clasp here. If someone lost it, not maybe somebody, if they lost it in the meeting, they'll contact us and let us know. Sister Renata, yes. Whose Bible was it that I was supposed to? But are we getting it sent to them? Brother Gary Green, okay.
Brother Anthony Thompson, he's recovering. He had a procedure of some sort today.
Okay. Brother Anthony Thompson had a procedure done today, and he's home, but he's recovering. Let's keep remembering him. What else? Am I leaving anything out? All right. Kathy, the girl she grew up with. All right. Let's ask God to meet these needs before we go home tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, you're a merciful Savior. You are our friend indeed. Oh, God. No greater love hath any man than he lay down his life for his friends. You did that for us, Lord. You're our Savior. You're our King. And we take our petitions before you, Lord, and ask you to help us. Oh, God, with these needs that we have. Oh, Lamb of God, we just ask you to have your will in each one of them, Lord. Our petitions are that you'd help us and touch these that are sick in their bodies or suffering, and help them, oh God, as you're only able to do. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise tonight, Lord. Amen.